Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here on the podcast today, Leadership Conversations with People Around the World About Leadership. Today from Sliven, Bulgaria, Danny Tanev. Welcome, Danny.
So good to be here, Larry, and thank you for your invitation.
You are very, very welcome. We're going to talk about, we have lots of conversations about leadership, Danny, and you've been involved in many kinds of leadership. I've known you for many years. Just talk about some of the areas of leadership that you have been involved in, just to get us started, please.
I grew up in a family of both parents being in the ministry. So since I was a teenager, I was leading a small group. Then the group started multiplying. I started training leaders. Soon after that, I began to oversee small group leaders. Then I did youth leadership for many years. I've been involved in worship leading since I was 14, probably. Wow. Been in the music industry for several years, working with different bands and organizing events. Been a part of different national movements. Also, at the moment, I'm leading a church. Also doing a TV show on marriage and relationships.
Wow.
This is pretty much most of the things.
That's a ton of stuff. Well, you mentioned your online show with your wife, Nora. And talk to me about that. How did that happen? How did you get involved in that? How did that happen? And how do people look to you for leadership in the midst of that?
When I was a teenager, being around people in ministry, I remember listening to a preacher, and he told us a story how his daughter went and asked him, "Daddy, how do I prepare to have a good marriage?" And he told her, "You have to start learning and growing from this point on in your life." So this really caught my attention. And I said, I want to have a good family. So I'm going to start learning. And when I was a teenager, I started reading books. I started listening to people. And this was a topic that I was interested in. So it really helped me prepare for my marriage. And when I married, I saw the good fruit of that. And until this day, I consider my marriage one of my greatest success. And so being in the ministry as a young people, I've been very much involved in different national events where I would lead worship, I would speak to young people. And every time I mentioned anything about relationships, marriage, I had huge feedback from young people. They started writing me, asking me questions. And my wife and I saw the huge need in Bulgaria for a voice that would speak sound information based on the Bible, how to have a healthy relationship and a healthy marriage. We didn't see anybody doing anything about it. So we thought, hey, probably we should do something about it. And since we didn't have time to respond to everybody personally, we said, let's start a podcast. So we started a podcast and the questions started pouring in. And it's been amazing that for the last 8 years, we have reached Bulgarians in 60 nations and we've touched so many lives. 2 years after we started, we went on video format. So now it's on YouTube, on Facebook. We're also on cable TV, and every year we're reaching hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people with the show we're doing.
That is so amazing. I think a key leadership reality that I picked up as you just spoke is that you found a need, a desperate need, and you say, we're going to fill that need. We're going to respond to that need, which is key for leadership. You know, that we need leadership in so many areas of life, obviously. And in your case, you saw the need in relationships. And I know that, you know, you go throughout your nation and hundreds of people, you know, come to these gatherings because they've seen you either on television or they've listened to you, you know, online. And that's amazing. Now, as you walk through this process with Nora, your wife, are there any mistakes you've made, things you think, should have done that differently?
I think that one of the mistakes is that when we are young leaders, we expect immediate success.
That's good.
And what I've learned is that it takes time. And I've learned that if you're persistent and keep showing up and do a good job, fruit will eventually come. And we just have to be there, even when, you know, when we don't see our expectations met immediately, we have to keep showing up and at the same time learn. And if we don't see the fruit we want to see, we should continue to ask ourselves, how do we do that better? Are we doing things right? And never stop learning. And I've been impressed several years ago reading the story of Sam Walton. He was obsessed with learning. And there was a story of how Brazilians wanted to start a food store chain. And they wrote 10 emails to big companies. And only Sam Walton accepted them to meet them because they wanted to ask questions. But at that meeting for like 90 minutes, only at the end, they realized that Sam Walton was asking all the questions, so they never asked their questions because he was obsessed with learning. But even there's another absurd story of him being in South America, I forgot the nation, but he got arrested. And when his friends went to jail to take him out and they were shocked how he could be arrested, they said, why did you arrest him? And they said, well, he was acting weird. He was in a food store and he was crawling on the floor. So we arrested him because he was weird. What he was actually doing, he was measuring the width of the aisles because he was obsessed with the question, what is it that these people know that I don't know?
That is so cool. So amazing. I remember years ago, Danny, I was in New Zealand and there's a world-known leader who was there and I ministered at his church. And I was so excited because I never met him. I couldn't wait because I had a whole list of questions to ask him. I really wanted to understand, how does this guy do what he does? You know, it was a place called Christchurch, New Zealand. And I remember after I spoke and he said, now, if you speak, we're going to have coffee together. He said, well, we'll hang out. We'll talk together. So I couldn't wait because I had my whole list of questions. So we sat down for coffee and he started to ask me questions. And he asked me question after question after question after question. I never had a chance to ask him, you know, any of my questions. And then I realized why he was so successful, because he was always maintaining an attitude of humility and continually asking questions. Danny, what would you say to a younger leader? Because we have leaders of all ages who, you know, listen to this podcast and throughout the world, throughout the nations. And again, the concepts we talk about are truth, they're biblical concepts, they work in any culture, any nation. What would you say to someone who would ask you for advice on how do you stay healthy? You know, because you've got a lot of irons in the fire. You are a pastor of a church. You've got all the online stuff going on. You're a worshiper. You need worship concerts for the nation. I mean, on and on. And any tips you would give on staying healthy?
Yes. Get Larry Kreider as your mentor. Yeah, I have the privilege to have Larry in my life, and he's been a huge, huge blessing, especially in the area of health. But yeah, I would say get a mentor, and I would say more of the father type mentor, because they will help you stay healthy. And everybody is different and is wired differently. For some people, certain rhythms of life would be healthy. For others, it would be different. So a father has an experience to help you get into your healthy rhythm. One other thing that I've seen very important is to learn who you are. Recently, I came across a study saying that one of the most influential factors for the success of any leader is self-awareness.
Wow.
Knowing who you are. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? This even helps you decide which people should be on your team, because you know the people you need, you know your strengths. So self-awareness is key.
That's amazing. And by the way, everyone listening today, check out the show notes. A lot of the key things that we're learning together here will be on the show notes. And there you can find how to get a hold of Danny Teneff and his online show and all those kinds of things, all in the show notes. Now, let me ask you another question. What has changed in how you see leadership today compared to how you saw leadership when you were younger?
I don't know if I can say that I've seen leadership in one way and I see it in a totally different way now, but I would say that it has definitely evolved. My understanding of leadership has evolved. It has deepened. So growing up year after year, I realize how much I don't know about leadership, how much I need to learn about leadership. And it's this is the reality in any area where we want to excel, because the more you learn, the more you understand how little you know. It's like you're in this bay at the sea, and the more you swim, you see how bigger and bigger the sea and the ocean becomes. And usually people who think they know everything is actually people who don't know almost anything. So I just learn how much I need to learn.
That is really, really, really good. So how do you learn? I know you talk about mentors in your life, et cetera, but I mean, do you learn by going online? Do you learn by reading books? Do you learn by asking questions? How do you learn? How do you do that?
Yes, I do anything I can to learn. I have learned to ask a lot of questions. I see people who are doing something that I respect and I ask questions. I read, I listen to podcasts or books. So information is very important for me. And then not only information, but what is the application? How I can apply this in my leadership, in my daily life is really important. Actually, this is what draws me. And this is, I think, the determining factor whether I'm interested in something or not. If I can't apply it, it's not interesting for me.
Interesting.
So, but I think growing is, I would say, one of the most effective ways to grow is to be around people that can help you grow. Mm-hmm. And it's a, I would say it's even a subconscious process, because when you're around somebody, he starts influencing you. Mm-hmm. So if I'm around people who are more mature, who are fathers, who are mentors, I use the word to catch things from them. Like mm-hmm. being around you for many, many years, and Ron and other people in your team, you guys have no idea how being around you has shaped me. The way I think, the way I see situations, the way I make decisions. And I don't want it to sound like heresy, but there are some situations where I'm thinking, what would Larry do if he was in my shoes? Even when I try to assess, did I respond correctly? Did I make the right decision? I was like, if Larry was with me in this situation, what would he have told that person? I actually experienced something like this last week, where I responded in a situation, and then later it was not a nice situation. I was like, how would have Larry responded? And I because I know you for so many years, I knew what your response would be. And I'm like, if I had done it the way Larry would have done it, the situation would have come out much, much better. So I think your relationships really shape you.
Well, you are very, very kind. It's very humbling for you to say that, obviously. Puts the fear of God on me, you know, for all of us. We need to realize that we are affecting other people. And it's not the upfront kind of stuff. It's the one-on-one, it's the daily life things, and that's really what that's all about. So are there some things that you wish you would have known when you started? Like, man, I wish I would have known this when you started back in the day.
Yes, I wish I had more skills how to be strategic and intentional. I wish I had more know-how how to structure my life. What is the path to get where I want to be? Because the reason I'm saying this is because I grew up in an environment where most of what I heard was just believe God, just have faith, believe, dream and believe, dream and believe.
Yeah.
And I was dreaming and I was believing, but I didn't see the things I was dreaming and believing for happening. And later in life, I learned that it's not just about believing and dreaming, but it's important to be taught how to grow, to get the skills you need to get where you believe you should be. Mm-hmm. So I wish somebody had told me that earlier.
Now I'm going off script here a bit, but you know, I think our listeners would love to hear your answer to this. I mean, you grew up when you were really young, you were under communist rule, and you were part of what we often call as the underground church. Mm-hmm. All right. And just talk a little bit about that. I think some of our listeners would really like to understand that a bit. What was that like?
It was an interesting time to live in. I was 8 years old when communism fell. So I have some memories from that. I have memories of how we would gather secretly to read some book. You know, I was with my parents. Of course, I was a kid. Right. My parents would gather to secretly watch a Christian movie. And later I was told, do not say anything about it to anybody. I even have memories of us going out of church and then some guys who later I learned were policemen, but they didn't have the uniform, stopped my parents and they were causing us problem why they brought their kids to church. So I definitely remember the atmosphere of being persecuted, oppressed, and not being free to share your faith. Thank God our family never experienced physical persecution in terms of being in jail. Of course, there were persecutions in terms of you can't go to university, you can't work what you want to work. I was in music since I was three, and there were different programs for talented kids that could you know, give them opportunities to develop. But because I was from a Christian family, none of these programs were ever given to me. So, but I think this time helps me appreciate more what we have now. Because during communism, having a Bible was a crime. We've had occasions where they would come and search my parents' house, find Bibles and literature, and then they start persecuting you. Where do you get this from? How do you have this in your home? And just turmoil, pressuring you. And now, you know, we have Bibles everywhere. We have all the translations on our phones. And my parents would told me that even in the beginning of communism, there were no Bibles because later foreigners started smuggling them in. So the church had more Bibles. But in the beginning, the communists took all the Bibles just as preachers had them. So young people would take the preacher's Bible and rewrite it, handwritten copies of the New Testament. And they would not sleep for months to rewrite the New Testament so they can have something to read. And then in the morning, they have to return the Bible to the preacher because he has to prepare for sermons. And they pay such a high price to have the Word of God. And today it's free, available, and we still don't read it.
Thank you. I know that many of our listeners find that very intriguing. And you seem to have come through that period. I know you were eight or younger, and you know, you have these leadership gifts God's using you. But as you look back, do you feel like that has helped you to have to go through that, or hindered you, or maybe it doesn't make any difference?
I don't think it hindered me, because I believe that if God has called you for something and he has called you to be somewhere, no person can close that door. So I never think in these terms. I think it helped me appreciate more what I have now. And I was blessed to see the transition. And in the first years after communism, we saw a big revival in Bulgaria. My family was a part of an evangelistic team, and I was playing on the worship team when I was 10, 11 years old. And I would, every weekend, I would play in front of stadiums of 30, 40,000 people coming to hear the gospel. So that shaped me a lot. And I think God used this to shape my calling for ministry. And I would say, if I look at my childhood, those 2.5 years of us evangelizing Bulgaria were the best years. And I had the best memories of my childhood.
Wow. So what brings you the greatest fulfillment today in serving in leadership, Danny?
Well, my answer is kind of a trivial, but results and fruit is what brings me fulfillment. And I know it may sound carnal, but actually the Word of God says that it's a blessing for a man to be able to see the fruit of their labor. Right. So I believe God designed us to be fulfilled by seeing the fruit of our labor. But of course, we have to be careful not to allow fruit to become our main motivation. Because there are different seasons, you know, and when you sow or when you water, you don't see the fruit. And if you're only motivated by results, you will give up. But my main motivation is because I was saved with a high price. And although results motivate me, I realized that actually I'm a steward of God. He saved my life, so I owe him everything. And my motivation to serve God is because I have to be faithful.
Yeah, I mean, the way God's wired you is you're a results-oriented person, and yet you've learned that that cannot be an idol in your life, you know, seeing the results. But you're right, the scripture is clear. When you sow, you reap eventually. And so it's a real walk of faith, obviously, and you've done that so well. Anything else you'd like our listeners to know about leadership? And then I have one question to ask you yet about some of the worship things you've been doing in the nation. But anything else that you want to share about leadership?
Yeah, I think in the area of having mentors, it's very key that you need mentors. And there are two types of mentors. Sometimes these two types can be in one person. First, you need a mentor who is more like a father. And the role of a father is to support you, encourage you, give you a heads up if you have blind spots. That doesn't mean that the father would know everything and that will have all the skills you need. But the second types of mentors is those mentors that can give you the skills, that can give you the know-how. Right. So you need those two types of mentors. Sometimes if you're blessed, you can find it in one person. But I would say that having a mentor, a father type mentor, is even more important, because skills you can acquire in different ways. You can acquire them from books. But just as Paul said, you have many teachers, but you have very few fathers. This is the reality today, because most of what we miss today is somebody to believe in us, somebody to encourage us, to give us a heads up for our blind spots. And I think if we have this, it sets us up for success, because we live in the era of information. Yes. And we can get information anywhere. But fathers, it takes somebody who loves you.
Yeah. And it gives me an opportunity to put a plug in for my book, The Cry for Spiritual Fathers and Mothers.
Yes, really.
I mean, that's what it's really all about. It's been a life message for many of us. And you're doing that now for many others. And I also want to say to all of our listeners today in different parts of the world, Danny, I'm going to have you send us any kind of video that you have produced. It'd be a great blessing for people to see, to watch, to be inspired by. Because I've seen a lot of what you have, and that'd be a great blessing. We'll put that in the show notes where people can connect with that. Now, while we're on that, could you just tell us a little bit about, you lead worship gatherings in the nation. And what does that look like? And how has that been a blessing to you? I mean, you're an accomplished musician, worship leader. Talk about in the last couple of years what that's looked like before we close.
I have always believed that since we serve a God who is a God of perfection, we should try to do our best for Him to the best of our abilities. This also means that if God has given you a talent or potential, it's your responsibility to do your best to develop it. And the bigger, if I can use this analogy, if you're like a pipe, the more you expand your pipe, the more God will be able to use you. So that's what I've been trying to do in my life, even with my music skills. And I've also always believed that it's not skills versus anointing. And sometimes we justify our lack of skills with anointing. I believe the combination of the two is the way God wants it to be. So I've always wanted to see worship that is not just anointed, but is skillful. And in the last several years, God has been giving me opportunities to play with some of the best musicians in Bulgaria, Christian musicians. And I've always had in my heart not to play just with skillful musicians, because I've been in the music industry. I can find skillful musicians in Bulgaria anywhere. But all of them are devoted to their church. Many of them are leading worship. So they are spiritual leaders at the same time. This to me is very valuable. And we've been able to start doing different events and concerts where we gather young people in Bulgaria and we lift up Jesus with skill and with a heart and with anointing. And it's been phenomenal. So it's been always a dream of mine to do, but I've seen in the last 2 years God starting to fulfill this dream. And it was very interesting because this year, actually, I did a big concert that I had in my heart like a dream for years. But I was like, well, I'm too busy. Well, I don't have the money. How am I going to do this? And then I was planning to postpone it with another year. And then God started sending people that would tell me, haven't you thought about doing something bigger? And I was like, yeah, well, what do you need? I said, well, I need this, 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 and this. And they said, okay, we'll give it to you. Go ahead and do it. So it was like a kick from God. Go ahead and do it. And I'm like, well, God, you opened the doors. You gave me the opportunities. The only thing I have to do is to obey you and to do it. And I would say that God surpassed all my expectations in terms of the scope and the dimensions and the size of everything that happened. And I've been so blessed, and I'm expecting any moment for the video production to come out, and we'll post it on YouTube, and it will be a blessing to people all around the world.
That is amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Well, Danny, our time is gone. Thank you so much for joining me today. These insights you shared will help people around the world. Again, everybody listening to the podcast today, check out the show notes, a lot more from Danny Tenev. And these leadership principles that you have been applied to your life, Danny, have been a great blessing. I've watched you grow in leadership. It's been amazing seeing what God's done through you. Sometime here in the States, we'll get you and your wife, Nora, together in the studio, and we'll learn more from you about leadership. So, Danny, thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you. I feel honored for being on your podcast, and love your guests and love everything you guys share as insights. I think it's very valuable. So I encourage everybody to subscribe and to follow the content that Larry is producing, because it's valuable, and be blessed.
Amen. Well, blessings to you. Everyone, thank you for joining the Larry Crowder Leadership Podcast today. It was so good having you with us today, where we learned these small changes we can make in our lives that'll make a massive difference, not only in our lives, but the lives of those we serve. God bless you, and check out the show notes. A lot on there from Danny Tenev. That'll be a great blessing to you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crowder's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrowder.com.